So it's the morning of the 4th of March 2022, and it's Elizabeth Stott interviewing Cal for the dialect project. If you'd like to introduce yourself now.
Yes, I'm Cal Weatherald, and I was born and brought up in Askrig at the top of Wensleydale. How much detail do you want at this point?
Where did you spend the majority of your childhood and teenage years?
Yes, I was born. I was born there, and I grew up there, and left at the age of 18, but have been returning on a very regular basis ever since.
And was it an extended family? Was it just mother and father, or brothers and sisters, grandparents?
No, my family, the Weatheralds, have lived in Askrig and the area as far back as the records go, certainly in sort of family history records that I've done, to 16-something. And we lived next door to my grandparents in the house that my great-grandfather built. They lived in the house, we lived next door. And so, yes, I had grandparents next door, and I had my maternal grandparents down the dale at West Witten. They, however, were from South Cumbria, Hawkshead and Broughton. They moved over here when they were in the 1920s.
Right, so relatively incomers.
Yes.
Cal, where do you live now?
I live in Derbyshire, in Belper.
Okay. Belper?
Yes.
Okay. What's your earliest memory?
It would be playing and around in front of the cottage where we lived, and going. My grandparents lived next door, but their house faced into the main street, so we used to go into the house through the dairy window. That was the way we went, so climbing in and out the dairy window to see my grandparents.
Is that how they went in and out?
We also passed the washing machine. We shared a washing machine, and that came through the dairy window once a week as well. So it just...
Right. And the washing machine,
It wasn't a huge one. It's about, you know, kind of 2 foot by 2 foot.
And you had the electricity then?
Oh, yes, yeah, we had electric. I mean, we had... I showed you the TV we had. Yes, we had electricity, yes.
Right. But from your earliest time?
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. We did. Askrig, remember, had electricity from... It generated its own electricity from Millgill Foss in the early 20th century. It was one of the first places to get electricity.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That. Oh, right. Okay. Better than me. Okay. And can you remember what games you used to play as children?
Oh, there'd be a lot of dressing up and playing around the fields. I can remember, I went for a walk yesterday, and there's, as you go out through the churchyard and past the terrace of houses, then there's a sort of a long, low wall with flags on top. It's about 2 foot high, and we used to run, it's a long wall, and we used to run up and down that and slide and play in the cemetery, which was next door. And that's when we were very young. When we were older, we'd just, as my mother would say, trail around all day. And that's, they'd pack us a sandwich in the morning. I'd meet up with my friends from Colby Hall and Gilgate, and we'd just go wandering up to Millgill and up the Becks and under the bridges and all day, and come home at night.
Hungry.
Yes, probably, yes. But nobody worried about us, I don't think.
Was there much traffic in the road then?
That's an interesting one. I know I was forbidden to go around in front of the cottage, there was a sort of track that led round the corner into the street. And the corner was forbidden. I was forbidden to go around the corner because that led to the road. So the road must have been, you know, dangerous to a certain extent. But there was nowhere near the traffic that there is these days. There were quite a few lorries because there were three hauliers in the village. So there were a lot of lorries parked on the cobbles and cattle wagons and lorries going through the village. Quite a lot of those, I remember.
Was the road tarmac then?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm not that old.
I'm just reflecting.
I was born in 48. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, I can remember the tarmac, that's all.
Yeah, it was tarmac, yeah.
Okay. Mm. More civilised than I grew up. Okay. Right. We've talked briefly about your parents and your grandparents. You said that your paternal grandparents lived here a long time.
Yes, and my paternal grandmother was brought up on a farm in Marsit, just near Semwater. Mm. So she was local as well.
But your maternal...
My mum's family, she was born in West Burton, and born and brought up in West Burton, so she was from the Dale. But as I say, her parents had been... came over from Cumbria, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think the area has changed in your lifetime? In terms of farming?
There used to be... I mean, I think last time you asked me about the village, and that's changed in terms of... it used to be a very busy village. There were two grocers, there were three butchers, there was a newsagent's and sweet shop, there was a hardware shop, which was ours, there was... did I mention the shoe shop?
No.
There's a shoe shop, and a lot of tradespeople, and there were at least three farmers in the village. Four farmers in the village. I think there's only one farmer now in the village that actually lives in the village. So people would come to do their shopping. Oh yes, there was a corn merchant as well who had lorries. And then there was my dad's building business, which when I was young was sort of joinery and carpentry and decorating, then grew to be a major building company employing a lot of local lads. So there was that, and down at the bottom of the village. So it was quite a hub of industry and you know, people coming to the various shops. They come over from Swaledale to our hardware shop to buy wallpaper, and people would come from, you know, the surrounding villages to the grocer's shops and the shoe shop.
And did they walk in from the surrounding villages?
No, they'd mainly drive.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the car was very much the mode of transport in your childhood.
Yes.
And how did you get around?
Walked mainly. My two friends lived a mile away, lived at Dale, just past Dale Grange.
Which is?
That's about a mile. Askrig, the parish is called Askrig and Low Abbotside. And Low Abbotside stretches, there's a beck just to the west of Askrig, and from that beck, stretching right up halfway to Hawes is Abbotside. And Low Abbotside is the bit between that beck and Brackenbar, which is the corner on the road to Bainbridge. So,
where the road...
Yeah. So in those days, Dale Grange was very much kind of, more than today, I think, very much part of Askrig, because the children would come to school in the school, which was right in Askrig, which is no longer there, and they would come to chapel in Askrig as well. So my friends were friends with whom I went to school and went to chapel. And we spent our time sort of walking back and forwards between each other's houses. And if we wanted to go and see my grandmother at West Witten, we'd walk over the fields to Wharton and get the bus down the other side.
On the main road?
On the main road, yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Other than that, my dad, when I was tiny, he had a van. I think we had a couple of vans. Then it became a pickup. Then it became an estate car. And we always had estate cars because he was also an undertaker, and that was used as the hearse.
Oh, right. And where were people laid out?
At home in those days.
They were homes, not in your home.
In the local home that would happen. It was in the days before. I suppose houses weren't central heated then, you know.
No, they weren't.
But they did keep the shrouds at home, and they were stored at the top of the airing cupboard. And I remember my friends and I found them and thought it was dressing up. We thought they were wedding dresses. Couldn't understand why they didn't have backs. And anyway, yes, so the shrouds were well aired.
Okay. That's a lovely little thing.
Yeah. Yes. So yes, we did play a lot of, thinking of it, you talked about games. We played a lot of dressing up and, you know, the usual thing, doctors and nurses. And
did you play in the barns?
And I'll tell you what we did. Yes, we did play in the barns in my friends' houses because the hay was loose there, lovely smell, and there'd be a swing in the barn. And we would roller skate in the shippens because that was the only, you think about it, there's no flat spaces, no flat areas, smooth flat areas around for roller skating. So in the shippens, after when the cows had been taken out and been washed down, we'd roller skate up and down the shippens.
As long as you didn't get into the trough in between.
Yeah. The other thing I remember doing for hours is collecting car numbers. We used to sit on the edge of the road. You couldn't keep up these days. And I'd have my dad's RAC book, because at the end of it, it would tell you where the last two letters told you where the car was from. Because I remember AJ was North Riding, and I know that AL was Nottingham. I can remember that. I had this list, and I would take the cars down the number of the cars, and then I would figure out where they'd come from. I filled loads of books of that.
You didn't use I Spy books or anything?
I Spy. Yes, I remember that. Yes, that's reminded me. Yeah, we did have I Spy books, yes.
Yeah, so.
Yes. And then, there were events. There was the, I was thinking about, there was quite a rhythm to the year, which was, you know, partly to do with the chapel. You know, there was obviously all the Christmas ceremonies, but then there was Easter, and there was the bring and buy sale on Easter Monday, which was where we raised a lot of money. So there were cake stalls and we always made my mum and I made aprons, so lots of aprons to sell, and all kinds of things. And cake stalls, of course, are very popular. And then Whitsun, there's the children's sports and fancy dress, which there still is.
Did you walk at Whitsun? Process
the fancy dress was a procession, yes, right. And there was a brass, horse band, yes, playing at the front, and we'd process right all the way up the top of the village and back down again. And then they judged somebody, you know, semi-eminent would judge who the winners were. And then there was the bread and treacle race. Now, this is significant because there's a house above the cross which has got a flat wall. So what you'd do is the children would be lined up, standing on the wall, and they'd bring these thick slices, about 2 inches thick slices, slathered with treacle, about that big, that sort of, you know, 4 inches by 4 inches. And then you'd all have a slab of bread and treacle. And then they say, go. And you had to eat it as fast as you could. And the first person who could eat it all, swallow it and whistle, won.
And whistle.
Yes, you had to whistle. That's been going back. I don't know if they still do it. That's been going back years and years. Yeah.
I've never heard of anything. Mm. Okay. Right. And did, was it boys and girls, or just girls together?
Well, the playgrounds were separated at school by a high wall. So, you know, we did a lot of running around, and in the snow we'd build snow houses and have slides like the boys. But, you know, they ran around shooting each other, whereas we sort of played games like, there was a game called Steg, where you ran around and you caught somebody and she held your hand, and then you caught somebody else and she held two hands till you were all in one row running around for the last person. So, you know, we had, and skipping games, of course, yeah. Yeah. My little girl guy dressed in blue. And do you know that one? I'm little girl guy dressed in blue. These are the things that I can do. Bow to the king, curtsy to the queen, and do in the washing machine. Something like that.
It sounds vaguely familiar because we did it a lot.
So, yes. Sorry, I can't remember what you asked then.
Whether it was boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
It was very separate.
Yes, it was separate, really. You know, until we began to be interested in each other around about the age of 13 and 14. And then we'd hang around together. But it was definitely hanging around, sort of chatting on the street. I mean, there's nowhere for us to go. You know, there weren't any coffee bars and couldn't go to the pubs. I mean, I wasn't allowed to go to the pubs, and, you know, even when I was 18.
Because you were strict chapel.
Yeah. We used to sit out in the we'd sit outside the pub in the car while the boyfriends were inside, and we'd sit obediently and wait for them. You wouldn't do that now, would you? We'd just sort of hang around, sit on the cross and chat, and, you know, when in the dark evenings, we'd just sort of gather outside and talk.
Until the rain came.
And yes.
Yeah. No youth clubs or anything like
that? When I was about 13, a youth club opened at Bainbridge, and that was really popular. Yes, that was a great event.
Mm-hmm. And did you walk over to it?
No, I can't remember. I think probably I was dropped off by my father, and I usually got a lift back. I can't remember how. And by that time, some of the lads were getting cars. You know, who was 17 would have cars, and we'd all pile. This was before seatbelts, so, you know, about eight of us would pile in, and, you know, they'd give us a lift back to Asquith or wherever.
Did you go to the grammar school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you leave some of your friends to go to
another place? Yeah, I think that last time I sort of mentioned that. That was really difficult, because suddenly at 11, well, in my case when I was 10, you sat this exam, and then I passed it. My best friend didn't. I went with, it was David Hodgson. You know the exhibition that you saw? There's an exhibition of the schools in Wensleydale. It was on here last year. I don't know if you saw it.
I think I saw it.
And there was a face of a boy, and that was David Hodgson. That's who I went to school with. We went off to the grammar school.
Which was in?
It was at the bottom of the village.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad had been there, and my grandfather. And it was kind of like a split opened, because the children who didn't pass were sent down Dale to the secondary modern.
And where was that again?
At Leyburn, yeah. And it was assumed that, you know, we were snobby. So the names they call us, in fact, somebody said this to me at a funeral the other day, a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about something that happened at primary school. And he said, you'd left then, hadn't you? I said, no, I was still there. He said, no, you'd left. He said, you were a Yorbridge goody sucker. Nobody had called me that for years. I could have hit him. we kind of slunk down the road in our uniforms, hating it when the school bus passed us and they all shouted at us. Oh. And we didn't, so that we didn't speak really until, again, as I say, you know, the dances started, and there were always old time dances in the village hall, which when I was 14 would begin to go to, and this would be Harry Cockerell with his accordion, and there'd be a drummer, and it'd be the military two-step, and you know, the Gay Gordons, and Eva three-step, and we did all that. But we were just on the cusp, because this was the 60s, and suddenly a band called Ray and the Teen Beats emerged from Kirby Stephen, and they were extremely popular, and there were dances in all the villages, so Askrig would be throbbing. The cars would be parked as far as you could see, either end of the village. You couldn't park anywhere in the village. The pubs would be, you know, the people just crowding out of the pubs. And this happened all over the Dale when there were dances.
How old were you then?
I probably started going to dances when I was 14, something like that, 13, 14, maybe 13, just caught the last of the old-time dances, and then so they did, you know, covers of the Beatles and the rock and roll and Stones. And so Askrig, Carper B, Aysgarth, Thorlby, Hawes, and our dads would take us, and then they'd pick us up, and woe betide us if we weren't there to be picked up. Woe betide us if we weren't back by midnight if somebody was giving us a lift.
And if you were with somebody else?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was quite lucky because my mum was very welcoming, so our house became where everybody came for coffee till about 2 or 3 in the morning.
That's unusual.
Yeah, I was very lucky. So it was quite a lively, a very lively childhood. I never sort of felt I was missing anything. You know, you see stories about people can't wait to leave because it's so dead. It was a very lively place. Yeah. Now, in fact, I used to feel sorry for cousins of mine who lived in cities because I really couldn't figure what they got up to.
There was nothing much to do.
Nothing, couldn't think what they did.
Yeah, so it was going around the village, farms, fields.
Yes, yes. Your imagination, really, yes. Yeah. Playing on farm machinery, you know, they used to be sort of wooden, I can't remember what they're called, flat trailers.
Oh, the hay. Yeah.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Which we would just sort of play on. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, big complicated machinery like now. It was fairly straightforward mechanical stuff that we could play around.
Any accidents?
Not that I can remember. No, not that I can remember.
Okay, good. Yeah. And when they came to... Were you still here when they came to film the first series of All Creatures Great and Small?
I wasn't living here, but I was here because I was here a lot. Because our house... By then we'd moved into the big house, so we looked out onto the village. And, you know, there was the big... catering van or whatever they call them, a huge van on the cobbles, and you know, the actors drifting around the place. So I can remember that, yes. I used to watch it for the scenery, but it drove me mad really because the accents were wrong. The flat Leeds accents, it wasn't right.
Of course.
Yeah, because you know, it's a bit of a lilt, a sort of Cumbrian or northeast lilt in the Dales, the way the Dales.
And it can almost change from village to village sometimes.
It does change, yeah, yes, but certainly from Downdale to Updale. But it's very different from West Yorkshire. Right.
So we've talked very much about the community itself. What did you do for work, or did you move away? And then,
I had a holiday job, 2 and 9 pence an hour, at the National Park Cafe at Aysgarth. During the summer holidays.
The present one?
The present one. It was only tiny then, and I also, my dad had a shop in Hawes, where the cafe on the corner is now. You know, when you come down Hawes and you turn down to the left, and there's a cafe, got some Italian name, just next to it, Barclays Bank, you know, the one I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That was a hardware and pottery shop, which my dad and, well, my mum ran it actually. You know, she would buy all the hardware and the pots. I mean, Hawes wasn't such a busy place as it is now, but it still had coach loads coming at weekends and on Wednesday afternoons, particularly over from Lancashire.
Why
And
Wednesday?
because it was closing day, in you know, people had the day off
Oh, I see. Yeah.
in lots of places, so they would arrive. Yes, we would. I would attempt to sell them quite hideous tea services.
And were you successful?
Hated it, I have to say. I don't think I was cut out really for running that sort of shop, but I did it, yes. But it was, I hated the bits in between, just standing waiting for somebody to come in, because my preferred mode of activity was sitting with a book. So anyway, we got by. And then I left to go to university. And I didn't come back to work.
Okay. And when you were growing up, did you spend a lot of time outdoors, from what you've said? Yeah. Whatever the weather.
Oh no. We had plenty to play. It was quite a big house, plenty to play, plenty places to play really.
What about the snow?
Oh, I loved the snow. A, it meant that school might be shut quite often, especially the grammar school, because you had kids coming from all the way up from Middleham and from, you know, way up Whittle. You know, if the roads were impassable, obviously they couldn't get in the school. And often the teachers couldn't get, so the school was closed. But if the school was open at the grammar school, at the primary school, as I said, we'd build huge snow houses and we'd build slides and snowmen. And we'd go sledging. There's some good hills around Asquith for sledging.
And you know them still.
I know them still, yes. Yeah. In fact, went sledging, not. The last in the last snow, we took my granddaughter sledging on one of them. Yes, so,
Ah,
yeah.
so you still got the same sledge.
Well, it's not the same sledge. It's a plastic one, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Yes, we had ones that my dad had made here.
Of course, given the joiner.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And you went to chapel. And are there any local family or local traditions that you followed? I think you mentioned the old one already. The treacle, especially.
Yes.
Bonfire time?
There was. We didn't celebrate Halloween. I think that's a bit of an American import, and it was disapproved of, really. But we'd celebrated Mischief Night, which was the night before Bonfire Night, which is basically the same as Halloween. You'd go around knocking on people's doors and running away. We didn't ask for money, we just knocked on the door and ran away.
Did you go out with a Guy Fawkes? We used to go outside the local pub.
No, we didn't actually. We did. I don't remember asking for money. I remember trailing. That means sort of bringing branches of trees. You know, we'd go around the fields and trail, bring in big pieces of wood and branches to put them on the bonfire in the field.
Was
And we did
it?
have a guy, but I can't remember where it emerged from. And I can't remember ever collecting any money. Or one other thing we did, whenever there was a wedding, we locked the gates. So the church house gates and the chapel had gates, and we would chain them up with a chain and tie them up with lots and lots and lots of string, so that when the wedding party came out, they couldn't get out unless they threw us money. And so locals, of course, would know about this, and the best man would come with his pockets laden with coins, which he'd chuck over, and we'd all scrabble about for threepenny bits, and sixpences if you were lucky. But, of course, people from away came, and they'd come out, and if nobody had told them, there were these little urchins standing there laughing, and they couldn't, and they didn't have a penknife either, which a local person would have. So there was quite a lot of negotiating.
And that features in the series Pride and Prejudice, where at the end the both come out married, and there was lots of coins.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten that. But were the gates locked? I mean, there was a certain amount of coercion in Askerig.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, they were in the carriage and he throws them over his shoulder.
Right, yeah. I mean, what I remember is the place being peopled by characters, you know, with there were enormous numbers of characters in Askerig.
In what way?
Were just people who were maybe a bit eccentric or, you know, and some wonderful nicknames, like there was Slipoy, who was a very quiet bachelor, really nice guy, who worked on the roads. Quite a few people worked for the council on the roads in the days before that was mechanised. And Slipoy was called Slipoy because at school he was in a play, the primary school, and his words were ship ahoy, and he came on and said Slipoy, and he was always called Slipoy until he died. And there was Jimmy Hare. No, he was from Bainbridge, that was James. And there was
He delivers coals still?
Sorry?
He delivers coals?
Yeah, that's right, that's his grandson. Yeah. Jimmy Hen. And Fest, she was a lady who just died recently, but she was Fest in the school play, and she was known as Fest for the rest of her life. So my great-grandfather apparently was called London Tom because he was apprenticed to a pulpit maker in London in the 1860s, but he was ever after called London Tom. And there were all sorts of nicknames to do with people's histories.
How individual, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What part did you take in the play? You haven't.
Well, I can vaguely remember plays at the secondary school, but nothing that stands out. My nickname is Cal, you see, because it's Caroline, but my friends called me Cal, and that stuck.
Right. Yes, I wasn't sure how that had come about.
Yeah. Yes, Calorin. You see, they couldn't say it, so it got shortened, and it was Cal.
Yeah.
In fact, I really should be recorded as Caroline. I think my father would disapprove if I was using a nickname.
He's not around yet.
He's not with us. So.
Okay. All right. Do you think the weather's changed much since your childhood? Is it wetter, stormier, drier?
I have to say, we came up on the perfect day on Tuesday, and the last couple of days, I've never felt so enshrouded in a mist that's... It felt like the water was so heavy in the air, it was so heavy it didn't know how to fall. It was incredible, and... So the depth, I remember it being wet and miserable, and it still is. And I remember it being hot, and I've had some beautiful summers up here in the last few years. So I don't know, really. I feel generally that the climate's changing in terms of the violence, but that's more from where I live now, where, we're experiencing floods.
Yeah. And do you think you had more?
We did have more snow.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Yes, we had snow every winter, and the roads were icy.
And more frost.
And more frost, yeah. And of course, frost inside the window. We didn't, no central heating, so you would wake up and the frost was on, patterned frost was on the inside of the window.
Yes.
That was fun.
he used to freeze my granddad's false teeth.
Oh, gosh. And of course you had lino floors with, oh gosh, it was so cold. Yeah, lino floors with rugs on, you know, with the stobbed rugs.
In the living room?
Not in the living room, but in the bathroom, definitely. It was lino. And around, I think in the bedroom, there was sort of rug in the middle and lino around the edge.
Mm. But you had lots of hot water through the tap.
Yeah, we had what they called a back boiler, so we had plenty of hot water, yes.
Back boiler behind the fire.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, yes.
Right. Mm. Before we go on to heritage properly, what kind of foods did you eat when you were growing up? Has it changed much?
Well, it was good, healthy meat and two veg. You know, we had a roast on Sunday, cold on Monday, shepherd's pie on Tuesday, fish on Wednesday because the fishman came, Thursday maybe sausages, and I don't know, we might have corned beef on Friday, and I forget what we'd have on Saturday. But yes, and...
Did you have any fish and chips?
We had a fish and chip van like we have now that came on Monday. Yes, we did have fish and chips. I do remember things, you know, like tinned spaghetti came on the market, and Vesta curries. My dad had been in Ceylon during the war and liked a curry, and Vesta curries were a big treat on a Sunday night. And, you know, we never had fresh fruit. Like, I never had fresh pineapple until I was an adult. Pineapple or peaches or apricots.
They weren't in the shops locally?
No, they weren't in the shops. No, they weren't. You could get pears and you could get apples, although we usually had tin pears. I think in that generation, you know, we had a lot of tin food. We had a lot of tinned... I don't think we ever had tin carrots, but we definitely had tin peas. And, a lot of tin fruit. But
because you had fridges and...
No.
No fridge.
No fridge. We had a very cold dairy with long stone shelves. And when I was little, I can remember there were hooks, and my granddad had a pig, and I can remember them killing the pig outside and then, you know... Following day, these big joints appearing on the ceiling,
and they stayed there.
Yeah, salted. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we'd eat the scratchings. Yeah, yeah. So we had no fridge until, I don't know, probably until I was more or less till I left home, I think.
Mm-hmm. So no freezer then, because of that.
No freezer.
Right. You didn't witness the pig's demise, did you?
I could hear it. I might have got a vague notion of seeing this pig pinioned. I don't remember feeling particularly distressed.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people around and it was very busy and there's a lot of things happening.
And
so
quick.
I don't, yes,
yeah.
It was quick.
Yeah. Mm. Hens?
Yes, my granddad had some hens down in the fields and he used to take me with a little galvanised bucket, which I still got about that big, down to feed the hens. So we had fresh eggs. I think when I was very small that he grew vegetables, but then, you know, he was quite elderly by then, so that stopped, and my dad was too busy to grow any vegetables. My other grandfather at West Witten grew vegetables.
You think that was a hangover from wartime?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, yes. Yes, it was, but I think people grew vegetables anyway. Yes.
So, potatoes and things.
Yeah, potatoes and cabbages and sprouts. Yeah, things like that.
I think we'll move on.
Okay.
Record, off we go.
Right, the coronation was a big event. In the village, there was a maypole set up, and we had a fancy dress, and we danced the maypole, and there are pictures of that. And at home, it was a big event because my dad went out and bought, he went to Kendal, in fact, to see his friend Tom, and came back with a little television, Bakelite television, which is in the museum, and set it up in our little tiny cottage. And most of the village came and watched the coronation on it. It was, the screen was about 6 inches by 6 inches, and you had to put newspaper around the light so that you could actually see the definition. It was so grey, but we did see the coronation. And
were you interested in watching it, or were you out?
Oh no, I was. Yeah, you were very interested. My maternal grandmother was a big royalist, and for my birthday, she always gave me a royalty book, so I know everything there is to know about the royal family and the royal lineage, and who's cousin to who, and I remember my grandmother made for Bolton Castle a beautiful model of the coronation, hand embroidered model of the coronation dress, which was there for years. So I took a big interest in it, and I'm sure we played coronations because I had my grandmother made me a long velvet robe with fur round, and in the fancy dress I was a peeress. I had no idea what a peeress was. I remember being a peeress. So yes, it was a big event.
And did they do anything special in the village?
Yeah, well, as I say, there was I can't remember. All I can remember is the fancy dress and the maypole dancing.
Yeah.
But I think there'd be, there'd be trestle tables, and there'd be food and a band, the usual kind of thing.
Sports kicked
up. There probably was, actually, but I was only three then. Although there is a picture of me running along the... In those days, the sports days were along the road, along the tarmac road you ran, and if you fell, that was tough. There is a picture of me, so maybe I did. I can't remember.
OK. Mm. Thank you. Right. If we just pause for a moment, please.
Off we go.
So now moving on to dialect. What does dialect mean to you?
Now, I did study linguistics at one point, so I could give you a formal definition, but I'm not going to. Dialect, to me, is it's something rooted in a place, and that kind of binds a group of people together. But it's particularly to do about a sense of place.
Are there any words that you use that are very local to... Askery. That you haven't met anywhere else.
There's my other half says that there's one I didn't mention last time. Waffy. I'm feeling waffy is not so means not so well, and I'm crootling means.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm getting to feel a bit better. As a scrow, which means a mess. And something came into my mind the other day that I've been very, very busy with one thing and another recently, and that something popped into my mind. I thought, I'm backset and foreset, which is something I remember people saying. My mum used it, which means I'm just so busy, I'm overwhelmed. Have you come across that one?
No, but it's very descriptive.
It is, isn't it? Backset and foreset, yeah.
Yeah.
And
sixes and sevens.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Let me just... I think I mentioned last time, it's kind of like there's a whole load of words in my head that I'm kind of I think I've used the word silently bilingual, whole loads of words that I think but maybe don't say, you know, like muck our eared if I'm walking, you know, getting muck all over my boots. It's the local phrase, muck our eared, muck over the head. When there's something happening that I don't approve of, I'm thinking it's nowt of a job, or job's nowt, which my dad would say, but I'm kind of thinking it. I've made a big list here.
Oh,
do you remember? Yes. Poppy put a word on her sort of signing thing, kaiste, which is a word that I still use, meaning
yes,
very very fussy about your food. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, she signs up with that at the moment.
Oh, right, yeah. And wrong side out, yes. I don't know if that's local or whether that's general. If you're feeling wrong side out.
Inside out.
No, wrong side out. If you're feeling in a bad temper. If you say, I'm feeling wrong side out. Is that... Sometimes I don't know whether it's...
No, it's
local
not.
Or...
Are you aware of it?
No.
Oh, well, that's something definitely I would say. Yes, there's a... If somebody's, you know, like Morris sorted out the problem with the washing machine, I said, oh, you've capped that. Again, I don't know if that's local or whether it's, I mean, you've sorted it out, you've capped it. And we would also say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm fair capped, meaning, you know, I'm really pleased, really chuffed. It's equivalent to chuffed.
Yes, I think. Television has changed a lot of local words that people just forgotten about.
I know. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, yes, of course you can. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think there was. I noticed myself using phrases with my grandchildren that I haven't used for a long time, that were used with me, like when the two of them were together with us a couple of weeks ago, and the house was a tip, and you know, I'd go into a room and they were flinging everything. I'd say, stop rowking around. Rowking around, yes. Now, that's not my mum would say that to me. I rarely say it to my grandchildren because we're much more indulgent, we don't mind them throwing things around. But when it was getting out of hand, I would say, stop rowking around. And also, I know to my one of them is an old fashioned little girl, and I'd say, you know, you're a funniosity, which used to be said to me. You're a little funniosity. And what was the other one? Oh yeah, and the, also, she's very fond of dressing up, and so you know, she'd appear with a tiara over one eye, and would say, you know, oh, you're a Bobby Dazzler, which again is another word. But you're very welcome to have these.
Thank you. So you've got quite a lot there.
Well, once you start thinking about it, they all kind of start coming.
Yes, and I think last time we talked, you touched on how you almost had two different languages, one for here locally.
Yeah, yes.
And one for the rest of the world.
That is true. And I noticed my granddaughter, she's lives in London, and her dad's from the south, and you know, she gets my dad always used to make a bit of a thing with my partner, who's from Berkshire. He said, you know, it's not, you know, grass doesn't have another R in it, you know, bath doesn't have an R in it, it's bath. And it's grass. And anyway, so B, my granddaughter, to her dad she says bath, and to her mum she says bath, which I think is a great example of kids, you know, kids understand very quickly what language to speak with whom.
Yes, when my daughter, my elder daughter, was younger, we were living in Kent, and she'd go to nursery and she'd come back speaking with the R.
Yes, yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's true, and it's... I think I mentioned last time, it was always something that you knew about because, you know, my mother had been a nurse in Bradford and my dad had been in the RAF, and they were aware that sort of out in the big wide world, you know, weren't going to get away with dialect. So there was, you know, it was brought to your attention quite a lot that you were going to have to speak properly, properly in inverted commas.
Received pronunciation.
I at university in Nottingham, which I thought was the far south, and a lot of the students from London and Kent thought was the far north, they had difficulty understanding me to begin with, and you know, you get mocked. I think I mentioned this last time. You know, there are people who will break into an attempt at a Yorkshire accent. They'd flatten all their vowels when they're speaking to me. It's particularly my sister-in-law. She's out of order, but I'm very fond of her, but she's very theatrical and she can't help herself. She just breaks into what she considers to be a Yorkshire accent when she's speaking to me. And which, of course... is unimaginable the other way around, isn't it? It's strange. So I think dialect is... The other thing growing up, I talked to you about school and about the split, is... I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
About how dialect...
Yes, it's a sort of emotional thing, really, because... You feel a sort of bit beleaguered, and if you want to identify with where you're from, you sort of hold fast to those phrases and thoughts and vocabulary. And, you know, if you want to indicate that, you might use it, you know, but...
It's probably a place, possibly, where you felt much safer than... The big wide world.
Well, it's home, you know. It's where your roots are. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I know when I compare myself with my friends, I think I'm the only one who's been brought up in a place where my family have been for a long, long time. It's unusual these days. It's less and less usual for somebody to have been brought up.
Centuries.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and you know, they comment that I've got. You know, that I'm more strongly rooted in the place than they might be.
Yes, I know what you mean.
That's how it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Thank you. Right, so going on to dialect.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So if we go through some of these.
Yeah.
Have you got this one as well?
I have, I think, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it's here's some food for thought. What do you call a room in your house
pantry.
For storing room?
Pantry. Yeah.
Okay. Not a buttery?
Nope. Okay. No. Never heard that till I went to Nottingham University.
Mm. And that's why my grandma used it, because she was from North Nottingham.
Well, there you go. You see it. Interesting.
Right. Okay. Going down.
Yes.
Looking at a picture of.
Onions. Spring onions.
Yeah, spring onions. Right. If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
Starving or famished.
Starving or famished, okay. What do you call something to eat between meals?
Snack.
Yeah. With a K.
Although I remember... you know, the lads working for my dad, their lunch was always bait. That's what we would use for a packed lunch would be bait.
Right.
Craving sugar. Sweets, the next one. This is a bag of sweets.
Sweets, not yep. sweet, not nothing else.
No, nothing else. No.
Perhaps something more substantial. What do you call this?
A bun or a roll.
Which is a bread roll, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if you care for a cream tea.
It's definitely a scone.
With an O.
Definitely, yes.
As in scone and bone.
As in scone, yes. And I would never say it both ways. I'll just argue.
When you say the words three and free out loud, do they sound the same or different?
It interests me. I don't get it. Three and free. Yeah, three and free. To me, they sound the same.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But this is countrywide, so who knows?
Yeah.
Something to wash them down with, do you say?
Latte.
Latte.
Yes.
With an A sound, as in?
Short A, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Complete this sentence by selecting the word you use in a conversation with friends. The food was...
Really.
Really, too.
Yes.
When you say the words full and dull out loud, do they rhyme?
Yes.
In the playground, which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break?
Do you know, I can't remember this one.
I know which one I'd use, but... I
think it might be truce, but I honestly can't remember.
You'd never use barley?
No, never use barley.
And put your thumbs up at the same time.
I need to ask my friends about that. I can't remember.
Mm. Right. And... there's a picture of children on a...
Seesaw. Yeah.
If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
grazed or scraped.
Right. If you broke your leg when falling, you might need a cast. When you say cast out loud, does it have...
It's short take cast.
As in
cat. Yeah.
As in
yeah.
cat.
Yeah. Mm.
Whether you hurt your knee or broke your leg, you're going to need one of...
Piggyback. That looks like Rishi Sunak on there.
Yeah, it does a bit. And he's remarkably small. Yeah. So you've had a long day in the... Even after a day in the playground, yeah. the children were full of...
Beans.
The children weren't tired, but the parents were absolutely...
Jiggered. Yeah.
Okay. Which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Skiving,
right. That's what we call bad behaviour. Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away.
Would it be bogeyman, not just bogey, bogeyman.
Bogeyman.
Yeah.
Right. Various pictures now.
Hedgehog.
I've got the bigger ones.
Yeah, it's a hedgehog.
What do you call this garden weed?
Goosegrass. Or cleavers.
Is cleavers the botanical name?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know, really.
Okay. In words like farm and clover, do you pronounce it R or not?
No.
What do you call... This picture is a picture of an insect.
Daddy long legs.
Right. Are we still going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was two pages, right. And what about this other insect?
It's an earwig.
Right. Oh. When you say the words do and due out loud, do they sound the same or different?
Different.
Just say them now.
Do, due.
Yeah.
Do, due.
Yeah. When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in...
muck.
Muck.
It's not there.
No, it isn't.
Obvious.
M-U-C-K.
Yeah, M-U-C-K, yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps take the car inside, but when the ground is wet or icy, you must take care because the roads are...
slape or slippery.
Slape?
Slape, yeah.
That's the top.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Not come across that.
That's very local. Gay slape, you know, very very slippery.
Gay.
Gay, yeah. Gay was used to mean very.
How would you spell that?
G A Y.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's new. Yeah. For me, anyway. Coming from further down in Yorkshire. Which of these words do you use most often in casual, friendly conversations?
Love.
Right. You'd like to be more than friends.
I sometimes say pet, which,
well, which is
a bit northeast, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So love or pet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Here I would say good looking, probably. Or good. Or a bit of a dish.
Dish. We haven't got a dish, have we?
A bit of a dish.
Right. What is your word for spreading rumours?
Backbiting or gossiping.
Right. A picture not hanging straight is hanging...
skew with.
Complete this sentence by selecting the words you'd use in a conversation with friends. He asked me to fix it and...
I said.
You've been doing some DIY. What do you call a very small piece of wood that has got into your finger?
A spell.
Sometimes it's best to leave repairs to the professionals. What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
A cobbler. We didn't really...
called it not there?
The shoe man, would say.
Oh, there,
it
yes,
is cobbler,
it is.
But I think...
cobbler, yeah.
I don't remember ever using that word. I think we used to call it a shoe man. But I'd call cobbler now. I'd say cobbler, yeah.
Was there one in the village?
There was Tom Hoare at Aysgarth, the house at the top of the hill.
In Aysgarth?
In Aysgarth, yeah. Tom Hoare was the cobbler.
Right.
Remember that we used to go fishing down at Abbey Heads near Askerig, yeah. And we used to, in the rivers, we used to go fishing for tiddlers and bullheads and, yeah, we had little
and
fishing.
And did you put them in jam jars and
yes,
them home?
Yeah, we did, yes, yeah.
With string handles?
Yes, that's right, yeah. They probably ended up down the plug hole. I don't know what happened to them anyway. Martinmas, that's an interesting one. As Martinmas and Michaelmas, isn't there?
Michaelmas is September.
That's right. Now, I don't remember much about Martinmas, but I know Michaelmas. My dad used to talk about Michaelmas because that's, and if it would happen at Martinmas, that's when my granddad would come up to Hawes for his bills to be paid, because it was tradition to pay your bills to tradesmen on Martinmas and Michaelmas. And he used to talk about times in the 30s when my granddad would come up, and times were hard, you know, in the 30s. It was the Depression. People would disappear around down the ginnels, and he'd come back with nothing. And that was really serious because, you know...
his business was
the family, you know, my grandmother was waiting to buy food to put on the table. We don't know how serious it was in the 30s, but he talked a lot about, you know, that how what it was like in the 30s and how you couldn't rely on getting your bills, on getting, you know, your money that you were owed. The Hill Fair, yes, I've heard a lot about the Hill Fair. Up above Askerig, and people used to come down from Scotland and from far and far around. And there was a circus... I think at the same time, I'm not sure,
Where was it held?
I kind of got the feeling it was held in the village, because Dad used to talk about the fact that the circus would be held and they'd all go, and then they'd pack up and they'd walk the elephants down to Laban.
Wow.
Just this picture of elephants in Askrig and walking down to Laban, it's just amazing. But he used to talk about that a lot.
So probably on, this back, on the back
road. On the top road, yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly. yes, so the fairs, in a way, I can't distinguish between the Hill Fair, the June Fair and the October Fair, but I know they were big events. I've looked through these sayings and they're not actually familiar, any of them.
That page isn't particular to Askrig.
Well, I don't recognise any of these. I don't recognise any of those.
This is the page that's headed Custom and Belief.
Yeah, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Culture and Heritage, but you don't recognise anything.
No.
Right. Okay. Now, this page is particular to Askrig.
Yeah. Clod, yes. Horse dropping, yes. Mare's tail, yeah, I remember that. Without, unless, yes, that's... Sharp, yes, maybe. Gate, use unit of land on the moor, yeah. Mm.
What kind of a unit of land? Just an area?
As I understand it, you know, as more and more land was enclosed, so local people were still able to keep their sheep up on the moor, and the gate so indicated where. In fact, that's what it says, equal to pasturage required for one sheep. In Askrig, you still talk about the moor gate up on the top.
I always thought that was the way to the moor in terms of the track.
No, I knew it was a unit of land, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in fact, when you're going out of Askrig towards Laban, if my dad had said, I'm going to walk along the gate, that was also, what he meant was it's that stretch of land. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Whereas in Norway, gate means like a street.
Yes, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And the town I come from, there's Amber Gate, Open Wood Gate, Bar Gate. And I think it's literally gates, you know, sort of where different entrances to the town. I don't know, I need to check that out. Mm. A place where, yes, I'm familiar with that.
In what KK. Region? Hoof means?
A place where sheep are bred and born on the moor. Yes, that's the hoof, yeah. Mm. Dub, yes, I remember various dubs. Sunter Dub, yes, that's where we would swim. It's down near the Bainbridge Bridge. Come by. They still say that. In fact, my granddaughter picked that up when she lived here for a few months during lockdown. Still say come by to the sheep or to the dogs. Field, gate tree, yes. Tree, four, tree. That says tiwit. I would say pewit for plover.
Not pewit.
Pewit.
Pewit, right.
Yeah, pewit.
And I'd say pewit.
Pewit, yeah. Pewit. Cushat, yeah. Moor bird. So I don't recognise any of the others. You know, what struck me about these last time was that I know they interviewed four men, and a lot of the words that I remember and retain are, you know, from the domestic realm. They didn't interview any women, and there's masses of, you know, about, if you look at the ones that I've listed, you know, it's about commenting on the state of affairs, or it's about mood or health or cooking or weather maybe.
So it's very gender specific?
It struck me that there was nothing here in the lists you gave me from that whole area of dialect that the women would be using.
And from what I've seen, I think most of the interviewers in the past were men.
Exactly, yeah.
Interviewing men.
Exactly, that's how it would be, isn't it? Yeah.
So
there's a lot missed, so much.
Hopefully they can rectify it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything on the back as well?
I didn't read that. Bullhead, yes, I mentioned that. The bullhead, the bowl of a tree trunk, yes. Brash, yeah, hedge trimmings.
I've heard brash a lot.
Yeah. Bink, yes, we used to have a bink. It's usually a stone bench outside the cottage where I was born. Mill trough, yeah. Any road, yeah. Any road, that's right. All over the spot. I didn't know that was dialect. That's interesting. I would kind of use that thinking it was standard all over the spot. That's interesting. Rive, yeah. By gum. Well, again, I thought that was standard English because that's
standard Northern English.
by gum, yeah. Keitel, yeah. Yes, my dad wore a keitel.
What was a keitel?
A keitel, it was... they wore them in grocer shops too. You know, they're either khaki or white, and they sort of button through jackets sort of down below, down towards the knees.
Yeah.
You know, used to wear... You know, those white coats, but they were... my dad would wear
one. Word for that, but I can't remember what it is now.
Yeah. Keitel. Yeah, keitel, yeah.
Right.
Snizy, yes, now I would use that.
What's that?
A raw, cold weather, yes.
Snizy,
S-N-I-Z-Y, yeah.
You recognise anything?
That's about it, yeah, the ones I recognise.
That's
in there. Oh, there's the... Carry on. Well, again, you see, it's... haystack, yeah. Always used that. Sneck and keeper, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sneck.
Yeah. Knitting sheath, I've got some of those, yeah. Yeah, the lathe for the barn, yeah. And that's about it.
Okay. I think that's probably the last one.
Offcomer, yeah. Flummoxed, yes, again. It's interesting, isn't it? I would use that, thinking it was standard English still. Flummoxed, would you use that?
Yeah.
Flummoxed. Do you use that flummoxed? I think it must be. It must be. Yeah.
I know they're not really... I don't know if they're all supposed to apply to Askerig.
But I wouldn't necessarily think it was...
They were collected.
Oh, tight. Now then, yeah, we would always say somebody was tight,
yes,
rather than drunk. Maybe, yeah, rather instead of perhaps, yes. I think I still do use that. Stalled. Now, I've got this written down, but I never knew how to spell it because...
Where are you? Oh, there.
Stalled. And you see, I always thought it was stored. Look,
it is local.
As stored on it. As stalled. Yeah. But that's, you know, you know, when you get to be a teenager and you're just hanging around, you know, and stored. You've been doing something for ages, oh, I'm stored on it, you know. Yeah.
Almost rhymes with bored, doesn't it?
Well, it does, yeah. But you see, it's the way I said it, but the way it's spelt there is stalled.
Mm.
Difficult to hear that. Fettle. The way I would use it isn't quite expressed there. You know, I'll fettle it means I'll mend it or I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily say I'll fettle some food, but it would be I'll say, you know, can you fettle it? I mean, if something needed
to do something,
something needed mending, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Right. Thank you. And finally, just a few pictures of locals. I think I showed you these before.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
You didn't really recognise those.
Are you saying where they are?
Because they're supposed to be in somewhere in Africa.
Yeah, yeah. That is the Packhorse Bridge over Grange Beck. Grange Beck flows down into the bay, into the River Yore, just opposite where the Bain comes in, just below Bainbridge. And that's, I'm pretty
back
certain...
from the Ashbury,
the Packhorse Bridge goes, you know, from down below Dale Grange over to the fields on the other side of Grange Beck. And that I don't recognise unless it's somewhere up behind... what's it called? There's a big timeshare thing in Askrig.
Oh,
Holiday Bond,
behind,
yes.
Behind the
There's a big garden behind it, but it's now been, you know, landscaped. But it looks like it could be. There were huge stables and coaches and you know.
Yes, I've been round but I can't remember.
No, I can't really remember it, but it must be somewhere because of the slope of the fields. It's must be one of those gardens backing on.
Okay, right. And finally, the cheese press, and I think that's just the over the door.
Yeah, that's the yeah. A lot of houses had the horse. Shoe over the door. I recognise. In fact, I think we had one as well, as long as it was that way up.
That was...
Otherwise,
a local fallout.
And I will recognise that as a cheese press. I don't know where it is, but I recognise what it is, yeah.
Yeah. And there's just a few notes from... because that's the diagram of it. Just showing you the notes made by the previous Oiganas.
Born, and this is my granddad, yeah. Mother and a wife, all natives, that's right. Left Askrig School at 14 and then spent 1 year at Yorbridge Grammar School. Member of the Rural District Council, yeah. Always lived in the district except for 3 years in France, yes. Yes, I knew that. Mm-hmm.